This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you, Matt and Patrick here today. Howdy, hi, Patrick. Have you been outside at all today?
Yes, I have. It is very, very nice out
today. It is spectacular. Now, I know that there are some people, especially if you're living in the southern reaches of the United States of America, who might be listening to me at this point. First of all, let me say, hi, how you doing? That aside. You're going to hear what I'm about to say and say, we're nuts. But no, this is just Minnesota. It's about 70 degrees outside. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. I know there's a lot of people that will be like, 70? I'm grabbing a sweater. You're not from Minneapolis, St. Paul. 70 is just brilliant. And it's gorgeous outside. Although, is it just me or like the plants all broken? Cottonwood is blooming. Lilacs are still blooming. Tulips are done. Irises are almost done. It's like everything is out of whack a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of noticing, too, was all the cottonwood floating around.
That's a little early, isn't it? Yeah, it seems a little bit. Enjoy it. It's enjoy these years we can remember when things blossomed. Oh, how delightful. Anything fun, exciting for you this weekend there, Patrick?
I actually took a long drive over the weekend. It was just a nice weekend to get up and get out. It was perfect weather.
Which direction did you go?
I went to the northwest.
Northwest, okay. Any place in particular you ended up, or just going for a ride?
I just went for a ride. It was a nice that's kind of one of the things I do in my spare time.
You know, one of the things I loved when my son played baseball and we'd go out into these tournaments, especially out in rural Minnesota, and you just go out there and drive and you're driving out into rural Minnesota and you find, you know, it's the game's over at 7, you're starting to drive back, you pull into a small town. I guarantee you any small town, you're going to find a driver drive-in that's going on, and it's just generally spectacular. It's really generally pretty good. And I always enjoy doing that. It's going out there and finding these little niches and the holes in the walls out in rural Minnesota, because there's some fantastic food out there.
Absolutely. I didn't stop, but I did see one of those dine-in or drive-ins you were talking about last night. It had a nice little line, you know, half a block long.
Oh, did it? There's your sign you should have gone, man. I tell you, you think that that's a bad thing. That's your sign you need to get in that line right away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do not wait any longer. The people know. I did get out to some hikes. Wolsfred Wilderness, which is out off of County Road 6. It's a nature area. Holy God, the bugs were bad. I mean, B-A-D bad. I guess it is a wilderness area. I shouldn't be surprised, but as opposed to like you get into the city and they put down the stuff from the mosquitoes left and right. I mean, this is the area clearly they're not treating, because it was vicious. Oh, and once we got down to the water, we went down, we hiked down, got to, there's a little lake in there. We got down to the water, they knew who we were, and they followed us all the way out. And it was not good. And so it led to a very funny moment, because that afternoon, right after that, the reason we hiked that woods, and I'll put some photos up of that a little bit later on, is because we were by a friend's graduation party. And so So this was a fairly upscale graduation party. The friend we knew, their son went to a private school. Won't say which one, but went to a private school. This was a graduation party for four friends that had known each other the entire time. Just really good friends. And it was, to say it was in a wealthy neighborhood is an understatement. This is not even like lower upper class. This is upper class. They had all the bells and whistles there, a nice get together, but I smelt like deep woods off, and there was nothing there just came a point with the bugs out there on the nature area. Now, before you ask, I did bring a change of shirt. So, I mean, I could just, you know, I didn't have, you know, like sweat stains, like, how you doing? You know, I didn't do that. I had a nicer looking shirt, cooled down, you know, changed right in front of the whole crowd. They were so happy I was there. But I smell like Deepwood's off. And I get in there and I'm like, you know, maybe I could actually pull it off as this is the new cologne. It's oof. I'm wearing oof. It's not only does it give you that desirable northern Minnesota scent, but it keeps the bugs away too. So it's a good thing. It was interesting as I went to this event because, you know, as you know, I graduated Edina High School in 1986. The Reagan 80s at Edina. Oof. That was an interesting perspective. And being there, and now I, like I said, we're very good friends with one of the families that was hosting this event. And this wasn't there. It was just a nice, you know, it was a just nice little graduation party in a fairly upscale neighborhood. That's what it was. But it did bring back a lot of memories from Edina back when I was a kid, because generally, I don't know if you're aware of this, I don't go to too many graduation parties. Just, hi there, how you doing? Who's the lucky graduate? You know, you don't. That's a quick way to get a restraining order. And so, you know, I've gone to a lot in my neighborhood, a lot of my friends, but generally, it's not kind of ones that I've kind of ones my kid's school district, that sort of thing. Not a, you know, I only know a few people whose kids go to private school or something like that. And so it was to go there and to be in that very, be very affluent area. It was very affluent. And you could tell. And once again, this is not a statement about where I was at this weekend, but the memories it brought back about Edina in the 80s. I mean, I've been kind of thinking through a lot of that stuff ever since. Because, you know, the one of the things which was, I was truly amazed by, especially when I got into the military and I joined the Army, and I went into the military and I went to basic training, this is going to be hard to believe, folks, but Edina in the 1980s did not prepare you in any way, shape, or form for the real world. It did not. I had no real experience with any minority culture, whether it was African American, Latino, Asian, even other religions. It was, you went to Edina in the Reagan 80s. It was a very white Christian existence, wealthy white Christian existence. And they liked that. And one of the things which was the ugly truth about Edina back then, and I don't know what it's like today, but back then I can say definitively, there were people there who discouraged you from being friends with people in, say, Richfield or Hopkins or Minnetonka or St. Louis Park, because the mentality was those are going to be your employees. And I'm dead serious. I am dead serious. The mentality is that you should just stand with us in our community, and those people, you'll be ordering them around. That sort of thing. It really was that obnoxious. And it was kind of this insulated bubble ideal that, wealthy white America that they had. You know, they went to certain colleges after that, and they got certain jobs, and they lived in certain neighborhoods. And they went, it was kind of one of those things where I remember when I was a kid and I went down, and this is back when Uptown was a much grittier part of town. Lindale Lake was very gritty. And I remember I was part of a church group, and I went down there because we were going to go convert the folks in Uptown. Good luck with that, by the way. You know, it's like, because I got there, and I'm like, why the hell am I with you guys, man? This place looks awesome. I'm dead serious. God, you'd never, Platters and Tatters was long gone before you came into existence, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming.
Platters, Tatters, they had clothes and they had records. And you could find that. That was over, I believe that was Lindale Lake. It was the old movie theater, and it's now a bar, I think, where that's at. It's on the, would be on the west side of Lindale, right at north of Lake Street. God, just a lot of great fun I had down there. And I realized it's like, this is a culture you just generally don't get. I mean, this was, I mean, for a lot of people back in the 1980s at Edina, going into the deep, dark city was going to Lake Harriet. And I am dead serious. Dead serious. That was, oh my God. These houses are about one third the value of ours. Run. That sort of thing. And so it was, you know, as I came out of Edina and, you know, and I went to, and I remember being a senior and going to a few of these graduation parties, and this, the opulence in that was there was just, you know, money for money's sake, you know, and, you know, it just was there. It really did remind me that of the disservice that those schools and I think those communities do to the students in those communities by not giving them a realistic view of the world. And you know, this realist, you know, or, you know, I guess maybe one side of it could be this, you know, the way things are still today, maybe it's just a hyper-realistic one where it's a bunch of wealthy white people controlling the rest of us. And they weren't afraid to basically say, this is the way we've had it and we're going to keep it that way for as long as we can. But it was, I mean, that was, I think a lot of the reason I'm the person I am today is because when I went into the military and I realized what a dumbass I was when it was compared to the rest of the world, I realized that, you know, I, even with my sojourns into Uptown, into what I thought was, you know, was the urban environment, I really still was not aware of the world as it was out there. And by having that facade brought down in such an abrupt way, trust me, the military will do that to you. It will. It's a case where you know, you learn a lot real fast. And so now, once again, that's, I am referring back to 1980s. And yes, I went to a nice little graduation party in a fairly affluent neighborhood this weekend, but it was reminding me of that. Nothing at that party, you know, gave me any inclination. As a matter of fact, I will say this. The parents of the kid that we know there are two of the nicest, most upstanding, beautiful people I know. They are absolutely great, and they've raised great kids who are well-rounded and do have a good perspective on the world out there. And that is maybe a blessing. Maybe that's the key, is that's the thing that's changed, is that mentality that I experienced in the 80s, there is now an understanding that just is not a maintainable reality. I just don't think it is. But no, I didn't do that. I did do that, and then I did go hiking out to Highland. God, Highland was busy yesterday. Did that, went hiking around Lake Highland, which is right there by the ski chalet when they have the cross-country skiing out there. Did that, like, nice walk, tons of people. That's the thing that's great about Minnesota, is that it gets to be June and everyone is out. Everyone's out enjoying it. It's hard to have a day like today because it's spectacular outside, and yet here we are, yeah, back to work on a Monday. If you're able to get some time out and enjoy it, I hope you have been able to do that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, a good chunk of the rest of this hour is going to be dedicated to sports because I got two stories I want to talk about, and then I've been running a question through my head of, do I write a book about an issue? And I'll tell you more about that when I do get there a little bit later on this hour. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, they do have an update here on that horrible accident that happened in the North Metro. A fatal crash that closed Highway 65 today saw a semi-truck driver allegedly run a red light, strike an SUV, killing a woman. The State Patrol says the crash happened at about 4:32 a.m. The semi-driver, identified as a 37-year-old from East Bethel, was driving southbound on 65. He allegedly ran a red light, struck the SUV as it entered the intersection from 109th Avenue. The driver of the SUV, a 51-year-old woman from Coon Rapids, was declared dead at the scene. Her identity will be released in the coming days. Obviously, once again, they've had some, you know, there are in the North Metro 65 on US 10, 169. There are some stretches up there. There's some roads up there that they're dangerous, man. They're really dangerous. And, you know, you got to do what you can to try to improve those. And And one idea, of course, a lot of times is to get rid of the traffic lights, but you got to have something where, you know, there has to be some response, you know. You know, just people have a tendency, if there's no one up there keeping those traffic running at a certain speed, people don't really pay attention to the speed limits. And I think that's one of the people friends I have that live up there. They say that's part of the problem, is that it seems like people speed up there all the time and no one does really anything about it to start giving tickets out. So I'm not saying that's what he said. I mean, I have zero doubt police forces up there are monitoring and running speed patrols and stuff like that, but still. Another, once again, since I'm 53 years old, and the amount of accidents that I'm up on 65 and other roads in the North Metro are pretty intense. Thank you very much to Todd Colid, who is sponsoring AM950 this week. Now, Todd used to live in Minneapolis, St. Paul, moved to Spain. He's got a lot of European friends, but still listens to AM950. Hey, Todd. Anyway, he, of course, likes to help sponsor the station, so he does sponsor us. You can do that, too. 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885 for more information. Todd, of course, we've been talking the last few months about his friend Paul Nyland in Kyiv, who has been there for 19 years with Lifeline Ukraine. Lifeline Ukraine offers mental health and suicide prevention hotline in Ukraine. An incredible amount of need for this right now. I'll give you an idea. In Mariupol, there could be 30,000 dead. You know, and just the mental counseling, the grieving. It's Lifeline Ukraine is doing a lot of great work there on the ground. They've got a Patreon page. I will post that a little bit later on. I want you to go to that, make a donation if you can, and help out Paul and the good work that he's doing in Ukraine, trying to help the people out there. That's going to be coming up here. And, you know, if you can make a donation, please do at Lifeline Ukraine. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So I want to take some time this afternoon, to talk a little bit about sports. Now, there are two stories out here. I am not a big fan of hate. I guess you could, if you've listened to this show, I don't like discrimination. I sure don't like the idea of discrimination, that where a person comes on out here and says, I don't know where you get the idea that we hate those people just because we keep passing laws giving them lesser rights. We love them and pray for them every day. They're just not equal to the rest of us as human beings, that sort of thing. And they try to sell that crap all the time. And they try to, and one of the things you've heard me say is, as a person who believes in the Christian faith, once again, disclaimer, you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I get so angry that they have taken the teachings based on love, compassion, welcoming, and peace, and turn them into a weapon of hate. But that's what evil people do. That's what evil people do. Needless to say, I was very encouraged a few years back when the NCAA started stripping certain places of, and sports across the board started stripping certain locations of the of championships, all-star games, stuff like that. I believe it was Atlanta. They got rid of the all-star game, moved it to Colorado last year. They've moved NCAA tournaments and stuff like that. So there has been some effort to fight the bigotry and hate, but there is one massively glaring example of tolerant of the bigotry in the NCAA, which I just cannot stand. And for 2 years, they have done nothing to basically even threaten the state of Oklahoma with it. And this is the softball tournament that they have down there. Now, the tournaments for football, for hockey, for basketball, they move to different arenas across. They'll have a championship in different places. Baseball and softball are set on where they're at. Omaha, Nebraska hosts the NCAA baseball tournament. And Oklahoma City hosts the women's softball tournament, or the softball tournament, I should say. And now Nebraska, and don't get me wrong, it's not exactly a welcoming place, but they're not as egregious as what's gone down in Oklahoma. But yet here we are once again treated with these fluff pieces. And I'm going to read a fluff piece here from ESPN. about how great this is. How great it is. 2 hours before Texas and Oklahoma met in Oklahoma City, Cheryl Judkins and Karen Hendricks walked by the National Softball Hall of Fame next to the stadium that hosts the Women's College World Series as part of the complex known as the Softball Capital of the World. Judkins, an Oklahoma State fan, was wearing a homemade shirt that she made by cutting two shirts in half, then stitching the pieces together, forming Oklahoma Sooners logo on the front side, the Oklahoma State Cowboys on the back. She sees no issue with liking both teams in a heated rivalry. The Sooners, she said, are too good to hate because of the afternoons, the attention they're driving for the sport that she loves. Hendricks and Judkins are proud lifers at the Women's College World Series. They had season tickets for decades, but now it's never as exciting as it is this year. Oh my gosh, we had tickets behind home plate 30 years ago. It was just packed 10 schools that was all there. Occasionally you get Michigan or Wisconsin. Mostly it was Arizona State, Arizona, UCLA. We were coming way back then. But now her Cowgirls are there too, in addition to the Sooners, who are in the midst of a historic run, shattering records along the way. It's just the best feeling in the world, she added. We're talking about the drive over here. Not only are we getting to watch great softball, but my team is in it. It's just fantastic. The Women's College World Series has been played in Oklahoma City since 1990. Between 2011 and now, Pac-12 won 19 in between then and 2011. There, Pac-12 won 19 championships, but the past decade it's won just once, and the power has shifted to the South. Oklahoma's claimed 4 of the past 8 titles, and the favorite to do it again this year. Behind, they've got a good player. So. Oklahoma! Yeah! Okay. There are not many states as egregious at hate as Oklahoma is. Because Oklahoma, it's not just transgender athletes, and they have gone after transgender athletes. They indeed have. It's not just the LGBTQ rights. My God, they have gone after them as well, going after their rights across the board. I mean, I'm just reading a story today that they had a lesbian woman who was a parent of this child. The state of Oklahoma stripped her of her parenting, hoping the case gets to the Supreme Court so those right-wing loon balls on the Supreme Court can basically undo the rights of LGBTQ parents to raise their own kids. I mean, that was the intent. So they no concern about the child who wanted to stay with his mother. No concern about that. Nope. Just strip them of their parenting rights and then hope the courts basically undo civil rights for 10% of the population. They've, of course, gone after women's rights. I mean, they've got that, it's the abortion issue. We're pro-life. Bull. It's about controlling women. Because I can tell you right now, all those white guys down in Oklahoma, their mistresses get pregnant. Oh, they're going to be able to, going to have to go out of state to get an abortion. They're going to go down to the strip mall and to the anti-baby ostomy, who yourself will scream about, well, that's not an abortion, that's an anti-baby ostomy. How dare you try to get between a patient and their anti-baby ostomist? How dare you? This is about controlling women and controlling sex in bedrooms, period. Whether it's determining who you can marry, who you can love, what if you have contraception, what kind of sex you can have, that's the Republican Party today. And in Oklahoma, they're leading that right by basically proudly gutting the rights of women over their own bodies. And then how about Native American rights? It's already been ruled that the Native Americans have rights over their own lands. And the white man in Oklahoma is furious about this. How dare you have your own rights with that treaty, which basically was upheld by the Supreme Court? We're white people. We're going to tell you what to do. So it's not just one group of people Oklahoma is discriminating against or with bigoted policies. It's all over the place. Transgender people, LGBTQ people, women, Native Americans. And yet, where's the freaking cowards at the NCAA saying, you know what? I'm sorry. You got a nice complex. You got the Hall of Fame there. But you know what? We're going to move the tournament up to Chicago because they're not actively trying to vilify all these people. for God's sakes, they've actually had bigoted Republicans in Oklahoma say, damn right we're bigoted against all these groups of people, daring the NCAA to move it away from there. And done. It's an embarrassment. The NCAA and NCAA softball is still going out with this. Isn't this great? Well, unless you're an LGBTQ player who has secondary rights in that state, or a Native American player who they constantly put the message of the white people are in charge of you, or at least are trying to, or a woman who doesn't have the right to make her own choices in that state. Why in the hell are you hosting? Is that state allowed to host a tournament? For goodness sakes. It's about time you moved that tournament out of Oklahoma and moved it someplace where bigotry isn't the pride of the state. And it is an embarrassment the NCAA still to this day has not. When 2 years ago when they were starting to really take things away and said, no, we're not going to tolerate this hate, the NCAA got real quiet when it was talking about Oklahoma City. Well, I think it's time for people to put pressure on them and say, no, it's time for you to move that tournament. And let them know, no, we're not going to send people there to be prosecuted in Oklahoma. Because I mean, we're not that far away from Oklahoma basically saying, well, if we found out that you were in, say, Minnesota, and you had decided to have an abortion, well, once you get down here with your softball team, we're going to prosecute you. What's the NCAA going to do then? Well, you know, we will have to agree to disagree. No. You should not force players into a state where hate is on the freaking flag. And whether that's LGBTQ rights, whether that's women's rights, Native Americans' rights, transgender rights, you should not be out there dictating hate and or tolerating states that dictate hate. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Another story in this vein comes out of Tampa. I'll talk about that when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is Pride Month. Congratulations to everyone out there. Hope you have a wonderful time. It's gotten to be kind of a fun celebration. Great music, by the way. Just the dancing. I'm all for that action. But it's also, the message out there is that this is a large portion of our population. And to hate them or discriminate against them or to write laws against them just because they're human beings is wrong. And I think we all should remember that. And it's a good thing to remember it. And there's a lot of organizations that go on out there every single Pride Month and try to, you know, show support for the LGBTQ community, especially in entities where the LGBTQ community spends their money with those entities. I mean, that's not a big surprise. You know, if you've got a surprisingly large fan base of LGBTQ followers, you're going to, when it comes to Pride Month, make sure you put out the welcome mat. Show them your support. You can do that year-round. You can do that year-round with all of them, if I could say all the different months, you know, Black History Month or Hispanic History Month or Asian Pacific Islander Month. We could just do it all year round. Could we all raise a hand that maybe it's time to get rid of the months and just, hey, we're going to just make it permanent. How about we do that? Not going to happen. All right. White people. It's a big white guy saying that. Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. The baseball has always done this sort of thing. They've gotten to the point where they've brought in salutes to the LGBTQ community. Tampa Bay, the Rays, apparently a few people out there resented this a little bit. Here's the story. A number of Tampa Bay Rays players decided not to wear rainbow-colored logos on their uniforms as part of the team's annual Pride Night on Saturday that recognize the LGBTQ community. Reliever Jason Adam was among those who opted out and said that it was a faith-based decision for him. Funny story. Jesus at no point mentions gay people or lesbians. Doesn't condemn them. Doesn't. And Jesus is the guy that makes Christians Christian. It's almost like you're taking other people's teachings and applying them to your faith to try to give them validity. That's a heresy, though. Anywho. Reliever Jason Adam was among those who opted out, said it was his faith-based decision for him. A lot of it comes down to faith, to like a faith-based decision, Adam said, according to the Tampa Bay Times. So it's a hard decision because ultimately we all said that we want them to know that they are welcome and loved here. But when we put it on our bodies, I think a lot of guys decided that's just a lifestyle that maybe, not that they look down on anybody or think differently, it's just that maybe we don't want to encourage it if we believe in Jesus, who's encouraged us to live a lifestyle that would abstain from this behavior, just like Jesus encouraged me as a heterosexual male to abstain from sex outside of the marriage, it's no different. Once again, stop blaming your Jesus for your hate. Jesus never once brought up gay people. Nope. Paul's letters to the Romans, Leviticus. You're going to go with Leviticus? You better read Leviticus before you start saying Leviticus is your compass, for goodness sakes. Paul's letters to the Romans, by the way, Paul, not Jesus. I know. The more you know. But, hey, you know, he's one of those people that you go to a church that basically people, you know, someone for whatever reason hates gay people, and they basically try to apply it to say, you know who else hated it? Jesus did. You know, and that kind of gives it validity. That's kind of who they are. Now, by the way, if I could paraphrase, can I paraphrase this? If I may, at least take a shot at this. Hey, LGBTQ community of Tampa, we sure want you to still buy tickets and buy our merch. Oh boy, we sure do. But hey, we're not going to tolerate your disgusting lifestyle. But we're praying for you. I mean, how do you think I paraphrase that? I mean, I might be, I don't know how much I'm reaching there. I don't know how much I'm reaching. By the way, it should be mentioned, guess who's in town this weekend? The Tampa Rays on Pride Weekend are in town. Earlier this year, Florida legislators passed a law which DeSantis signed that forbids classroom instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in kindergarten through third grade. Critics argue the law's true intent is to marginalize LGBTQ communities and their people and their families. Members of the LGBTQ community took part in the pregame activities and many LGBTQ flags were given out to fans. Sunday's attendance was 19,452 above the season average of 16,868. That's all they're having down there? No one. That's a decent team. They can't get anyone in the gates. The Sunday series finale against the White Sox was 11,162. But the Saturday is the night they did the LGBTQ Pride Day. And it was... So once again, the LGBTQ Pride game had basically 3,000 more fans than their standard game. The next game afterwards had 8,000 less fans. So this is the conundrum they're in. They're basically trying to sit there and say, oh, we're not saying that we're against you. I'm just ripping the logo off my jersey because I despise it being near my body. Where did you get the impression I don't like you? Former Adam fellow pitchers. Here's the crew. Adam, fellow pitchers Jalen Becks, Brooks Raley, Jeffrey Springs, and Ryan Thompson were among other players opting out of their special caps and jerseys. The USA Today noted participation was not mandatory. But I want to remind you, they're going to be in town this weekend for Pride Weekend. The Tampa Rays are going to be here. Former Major League player Preston Wilson tweeted that the players involved contributed to the special ignorance in sports on this topic. Amen. Every person in MLB has some point played with a homosexual teammate, he wrote. They all have cheered out for their success on the field. They've felt their pain when they struggled. They just didn't know a player that was LGBTQ. Tampa Bay's Rays manager Kevin Cash said after Sunday's game that he doesn't think some players declining to participate will negatively impact the clubhouse, because discussion among the players over the past few weeks were constructive and emphasized the values of differing perspectives. Oh, okay. Would you tolerate that if someone came in and said, well, I don't like Jews? Would you say, you know, hey, differing perspective? You know, no, you would say, no, you're wrong. You're wrong, horrible person. Say that, or it was, what if you had a team that was supporting, saluting the traditional Negro League teams that were there, and they had a special logo or something on their sleeve that was there, and to support the African American teams, and a white player ripped it off and went out there and said, hey, you know, we want to be welcoming and all, but the idea of me putting a Negro League logo on my baseball uniform, you're asking way too much. I mean, I don't want that near me. And if we want to go back to the 1960s when they did this all the time, you could even go back to saying, you know, the Bible says there shouldn't be intermingling of races. Yeah, remember when they did that? Yeah, tried to use the Bible to justify the bigot. Oh, yeah, they did that. They did. Do you think this manager would be saying, oh, we got some differing perspectives here? No. But it tells you how far we still need to go in acceptance that it wouldn't be tolerated for certain groups, but when it comes to the LGBTQ community, everyone's like, all right, well, yeah. Apparently their version of Jesus basically hates a bunch of people. So, you know, what are you supposed to do? So, no, I should mention that once again, I don't know if you're aware of this. With Pride Weekend coming into town, the Tampa Rays are going to be in town this weekend. And among the Tampa Rays coming to town here are Jason Adam, Jalen Becks, Brooks Raley, Jeffrey Springs, and Ryan Thompson, who all on Saturday refused to participate in even wearing an LGBTQ-friendly logo on their uniform. Nope. Not wanting to do anything like that. And yet, they're going to be in town on Pride Weekend in Minneapolis. Okay. It would be great. How about Minnesota Twins? Can we just... every game with the Rays, can we have a salute to LGBTQ rights by having just maybe stop the game for a little bit and just having a big old dance party? Let's do it. You know, let's do it. we can encourage these guys to come on out. Come on, guys. Come dancing. What are you afraid of? It's dancing. I can't stand it. I can't stand the hate. I can't stand. And it's isn't it wrapped in such a pretty little package in this one? Oh, it's just Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is the right term. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Stop ruining my religion with your hate. Jesus wasn't about hate. He wasn't. He's about welcome, compassion, caring. He was. He wasn't about just the idea of the gay logo being on my uniform. I had to rip it off. But I support them. 952-946-6205. Paraphrasing. 952-946-6205. Looking forward to, by the way, this weekend, Twins playing the Rays at Target Field. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. I'm going to ask you a question on whether I should write a book or not. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Should mention the Yankees are in town tomorrow night. It'll be interesting to see how Donaldson, after his racist comments as a Yankee, how he'll be received in town here. I don't think it's going to be a warm welcome at all, especially now that he's playing for the Yankees. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So I got a question for you. I and Patrick, I'll start with you here. I started realizing that there is an element of parenting which is just not talked about, which I think there's a lot of parents out there that could use the information about it. And this is in regards to kids in sports. And the problem that I started to notice is that there's a lot of parents, including myself, who got into kids' sports thinking that the system to get your kids to the top is fair. And for the most part, it's not. And whenever I bring this subject up, the first thing someone says to me is, don't talk about that. You sound like you're bitter and angry about something that happened with your kid. And part of me is like, well, yeah, I am, because I saw a system that was not designed to give a lot of kids, including my own, a chance that favored a very small percentage of people. But yet it's you know, people refuse to want to talk about that. And I think that, you know, you get to a point where time and time again, there are parents who are getting their kids into sports right now who think to yourself, well, if my kid gets really good, or say have played a sport for 3 years and they're seeing their kid improve, there are some telltale signs that you're not going to get a chance. Eventually, you're not going to get a chance. I think it's important to have a discussion about this, because it really is. I am really concerned about where youth sports is going. And that I think that the whole point is that for most people, from the day you start, regardless of how good your kid is at an individual sport, that they will not, for most kids, they will not have a chance to play at the top levels, because, not because of their ability, but because of circumstances that are thrust upon them. Now, do you think I should write a book about that?
I think you absolutely should write a book about that, because I think what you're saying things that other parents are afraid to admit because they don't want to look like they're rocking the boat. They don't want to look like
bitterness.
Yeah, bitter.
Yeah. No, and the thing is that whenever I brought this up, and I've kicked this idea around for about 5 years, and every time I bring it up, I get parents who oh, you don't want to do that. You're just going to sound bitter. So, well, but if there is definitively a problem here, can we solve the problem by not saying anything about it? No. And what it basically comes down to is this. And this is to a point, and I want to be very clear here, to a point, not a fault, but the consequences of it are pretty astronomical. At some point, years ago, a guy realized, heck, I could start offering individual camps and programs and premier experiences for kids, and the wealthy parents will pay me a lot of money to do so. And the minute that started, things started to steamroll. There are a few exceptions. Football is such a large sport with so many players, it really has not been affected by this too much, not at least on the levels that you've seen in other sports. And you know, but I mean, I think almost every other sport, there is this level of whether or not you got a fair chance. And what I'll say is this, is if you're in a sports league, if say you're like, your kids are like 10, 11 years old, and you're saying, boy, they're getting pretty good. I mean, maybe you should give them a chance. Unless you are one of the wealthiest people in that community, unless you are volunteering 60 to 80 hours a week for the sports organization your kid's involved with, or unless your kid is truly just so good that even as much as people might want to try to keep that kid off a team, there's just only a fool would go against it. That's not a guarantee, by the way. That has happened where great players have been kept off of teams. That unless you're there, you're generally not going to have a chance. And you're going to end up sitting there and saying, it's like, what the heck happened here? And it comes down to the fact that the system is geared now to where you have to be very wealthy. And the desire to win. I mean, it's everything. I'll never forget my youngest daughter was like 6, and we were in her first softball league, okay? And the teams were, this is the bylaws of the organization, we randomly select the teams. The teams are random. So I remember, I'll never forget the first time the one team from Hopkins played the other team from Hopkins. And here's my daughter's team. And here comes this other team. They're all about a foot taller, every one of them. And every one of them is already an experienced softball player. And I pulled aside the woman that was in charge of this. I said, wait a second here. How is, I mean, this is not, you know, this is clearly that team was picked and the other team was picked. Not, I mean, your bylaws said that they were randomly selected. I mean, she looked at me and she goes, oh, no, they were randomly selected. I said, you can't, you're telling me that this was a randomly selected team, that all the older kids, all the better players were on one team and the other team just that's what you're saying. And she snapped at me and she said, well, if you work for the organization, then you can pick the team you want. And I just said, well, then you just admitted your entire organization is based on a lie. It's not about randomness. It's not about competitiveness. You're trying to build a superstar team so you can compete and kind of push certain kids in a certain way. And it was pretty remarkable to watch that and realize that was a template for what I was going to experience for years to come in all the sports. And that, you know, like I said, I think there's a tendency for people to say, well, if you write this book, all they're going to do is label you as bitter. But somebody's got to, because reality is I got tired of going to tryouts with a kid where they say, well, everyone who wants to make this team has to be at the tryout. Well, all the kids show up and suddenly, funny story, 8 or 9 kids who were not at the tryout were all the top kids picked. And when you ask, they say, well, that was the super secret tryout. Oh, really? It's kind of one of those things where you just have to have a perspective that it's not going to be fair. And I think that I might just write that book. Hour 2, that's coming up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you. Into the 5 o'clock hour we go. Matt and Patrick here today. Patrick, have you seen the video? It's a video. I'm not sure where the dam is, but they open up a channel on the dam that hasn't been opened in a long time. And what proceeds to happen is really interesting. It's first this kind of, you hear some sounds like protest. And then comes the first, this thick sediment mud that finally starts coming on out of the dam and goes down. And it's not really shooting out very far. It's just this all this mud, because it's all been built up over the years on this one channel. And they just open it up and it's just pushing it out. Finally, it starts to open up more and more and more and eventually just starts shooting wildly bound into the gorge. Have you seen that video at all?
I actually have not seen that video, but it sounds, I would need a more context. I don't want to say it's cool if it's supposed to be kind of ill, but
no, it's actually really cool. It's cool in the sense being that it kind of, you just see, you know, it's not something you'd expect to see. It's all of a sudden this mud kind of getting thrown out, and all of a sudden boom, all of a sudden it's spraying, just because, you know, it's just like finally this mass release of water that had been blocked up and blah. I bring that story. Are you pulling it up right now?
Well, I don't have any context. I don't know where to look for it.
All right. Just look it up on YouTube. See if you can find it there. I bring that story up because as a precursor for this next story. Customers will get their first experience with the first ever Taco Bell Defy when it opens up in Brooklyn Park on Tuesday. Sorry. I am an ass. I want you to find the video of this, and you'll appreciate this joke a hell of a lot more. Okay, just find the video. Mwah! Bon appetit. The new concept restaurant, which resembles more of a drive-through bank than a takeout, features 4 lanes with food delivered to customers via vertical lifts that takes orders from the kitchen down a chute to the drive-through kiosk. Franchise Border Foods calls it the fastest way ever to get Taco Bell, which might lead to the fastest way ever to get rid of Taco Bell. The restaurant at Zane and Highway 610 opened for media preview Monday before opening to the public on Tuesday. Taco Bell Defy embodies the innovative entrepreneurial spirit of Minnesota businesses and franchises, says Lee Enger, CEO of Border Foods. It's a creative technological solution for a faster, contactless experience. as many Taco Bell fans as possible, and it's poised for the future of quick service dining. Yum! I will never forget the Parks and Rec episode where you talked about breaking the porcelain. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. That was a good joke. You know, Patrick, I don't know how you like your Taco Bell, but when I think about it being fed to me down a chute to my waiting car, that just smells like old world cooking right there, doesn't it?
Boy, just the thought makes me so excited.
What's the next step after this? Come on by the trough. We just put the food in the trough. You just bob your head down there and get your fill. I mean, seriously, are we at that point?
Just be bobbing for tacos. Oh, you got a shell. Sorry, all the stuff fell out of it, but you got a shell.
You got something. Look, is that a chalupa? It's a chalupa you got. No, that's not. It does look very modern. If you look at the pictures of it, I'll post the story here. It does look like a 1980s bank, because that's it, when I'm thinking of food, I want you to put it in one of those 1980s bank tube things. I mean, how is the food? Okay, it can't be coming down too fast, like pneumatic tube, because everything will be out of the taco. you're gonna have empty shells, and the bottom of your bag is gonna be all I'll still eat it. Who are we fooling? We'll still eat it. Yum. Just give me some nacho chips. I'll treat it as a dip. God. There you go. I'm looking forward to it. If you're up at, was it Zane and 610?
Yeah, that's what the article said.
If you're up Zane 610, are you going to go there? Can we send you there tomorrow?
I got to be here tomorrow, so unfortunately we'll have to wait until later in the week to get me on report to find out what's going on.
Bathrooms work here, man. We'll get you to go to the... Well, it's going to be packed tomorrow. I bet you it's going to be packed.
Probably going to be packed for maybe the first week.
Oh, God. Good luck. Let's open that damn portal and see what's in... Whoa! There you go. Speaking of decisions that could come back to haunt you in a really bad way, have you taken a cruise? Have you ever done a cruise?
I have been on, I think, three.
You have? How long before, how many hours were you on the boat before you were violently sick? Sorry.
Fortunately, I never quite got to that point.
Oh, gosh. Thank God they put the shrimp on ice. How long were your cruises? Anyone that were long ones?
I think most of them were 5 or 6 days.
Okay. Caribbean, down to the going out of Miami?
Yeah, we've been to two of them were in the Caribbean.
Nice.
The other one was on the west coast of Mexico. We went down to Cabo San Lucas. That was my favorite of the three.
I'm joking a little bit. Cruises, for the most part, are fine. The ship's got to be clean. You know, people are doing that. And you don't have, a pandemic going on. You're going to have a better chance. But what's the maximum amount of time you would do on a ship? The maximum amount of time?
Like without getting off at all? Or
just at ports of call.
Okay.
But only ports of call.
I think the most recent one I did was in 2015. And I think... That was 6 days. That was about the maximum that I felt I could handle.
Could you do 71?
No.
Okay. Cruise passengers above the Viking Polaris will get on in Duluth. We'll take it all the way to Antarctica. I'm not joking. This is a tour, a three-continent voyage that includes stops in Canada, New York City, Mexico, a transit of the Panama Canal, a week in Antarctica before disembarking in Argentina. They're not bringing you back. It's going to take you 71 days to get down there, and then they're ditching you in Argentina. Although, I mean, Argentine cuisine is actually quite delicious. So, you know, bon appetit. I think you'll be fine down there. Viking Cruise Expedition ship Octanus. Octantis. Sorry. I'm going to let that one slide. Octantis has already begun plying the Great Lakes this spring with Duluth as a port of its call. Its new sister ship, Polaris, will sail from Duluth to Toronto and back to the on the Great Lakes Grand Tours next summer. But now the Swiss-based cruise line has quietly started selling tickets for a blockbuster new itinerary. Starts in Duluth, of course, the Mecca of the North. Oh, beautiful, beautiful Duluth. Which I love Duluth, man. It's going to be, gotta tell you the truth, they're going to have a lot of flights going in there. If you're going to have fill up a cruise ship that's going to be on the water for 71 days. So it's definitely going to, you know, get you some stuff there. Starts in Duluth on September 12th. The Longitudinal World Cruise 2 will explore the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Seaway, the U.S. East Coast, the Caribbean, Chilean fjords, with glaciers in parts of Antarctica before terminating on November 21st in Argentina, some 7,000 miles south of Duluth. I don't know if I could do that. I mean, it does sound like you do get substantial ports of call, but you're still on a boat, living on a boat for 2 months. And if something goes wrong... If I know this is good, see if you can follow me. A cruise line where something has gone wrong. I know. I don't know. I think their cost is it's $45,000 to start for 71 days. I'm going to imagine everything's included. So for $45,000, you can get all the food you want. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say it like that. I don't know what it all comes with that cheap ticket. That's the cheap ticket. I'm guessing the all-inclusive thing with the full bar and everything is going to be like $200,000 or something like that per ticket. But if you like cruises and you can afford it, you'd see a lot of really cool places. You're not going out to Easter Island, it doesn't look like, but you'd still get the good chunk of the Chilean coast. Then you got to get back. How long of a flight do you think that is from southern Argentina all the way to Duluth?
Probably have to make two or three connections to do that.
Something tells me you're hitting Atlanta. You're hitting Hartsfield. Wow. I will have to see. I'll put if you'd so like to go, if you'd like to send us, hey, sure, we'll crack jokes the entire time. I'm sure they'll love us on this boat. If you do want to float the price for us to go, you could also float the price for us to go up to the Taco Bell up in the North Metro now that's got the space age delivery system, which I'm sure no one will ever regret 3 to 4 hours afterwards. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I'll tell you what, let's take a break early here. Come back. I want to get into this whole week. Get ready for Deflection News. I'll explain what I'm talking about when I come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Patrick has now seen the video of the dam opening and cleaning out all the deposits that were in that dam chute there before the water sprays across the gorge. And as I applied it to the new Taco Bell opening, you'll never forgive me. Is that what you just said?
That is what I said, indeed.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Todd is in Ramsey, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Hi, Todd.
Hello, Matt. Your story about the new design of the Taco Bell, when you concluded the story, you kind of came to a guess that the consumers will line up and it'll be busy because it's the newest and latest and greatest thing. And that put me to mind of, I live in the North Metro, and there were two restaurants. If you'll probably recall this, the first Krispy Kreme in the Twin Cities opened in Maple Grove, just off of 94. And the night before it opened, people were sleeping outside awaiting it to open. And I believe all three of the major networks had their helicopters up covering the opening. And within a few years, it was closed, gone. And same thing in Elk River. There was the first Sonic that opened in the North Metro area had the Elk River Police Department controlling traffic from a parking lot across the street, funneling the excess of consumers in and out of the Sonic because it was the newest, latest, greatest thing. And within a couple of years, you could get a spot there anytime.
Yeah, they create hype. That's for sure, Todd. Thank you very much for the reminders on that. I was filling in on a station in town that when that opened up, I was doing some fill-in work for them, and I don't want to say which station it was. I will just say this: the hosts were acting like. Imagine you just got, you know, the twins had sent you every bobblehead they'd ever produced. You'd be going, oh my God, this is the greatest. This was the greatest. They were acting like that with a box of freaking donuts, which frankly were, if I can be bold, I know about four or five donut places in town that would put them to shame. It was nice. When they're warm, yeah, they're okay. But... people go crazy. People all of a sudden they're gonna be in line because it's not that I just got the taco. I got the taco thrust to me down the magic Taco Bell chute to my car, and you're just like, you get it? I got it! Yay!
I was actually living in Elk River when that Sonic opened, so I was actually thinking about that before he actually mentioned it specifically. And just for the record, that Sonic is still open. It's one of the few that did survive in Minnesota.
It's kind of down in Bloomington, I think, too.
Yeah. I think there's another one somewhere. It might be on the east side. But my thought was it's kind of the power of advertising because you see these commercials with these two dudes in the car like, oh, that burger looks so good. And they got that ice cream. And, oh, my goodness, it's actually here. And then you're it's not really any better than McDonald's that I could have had any day before this.
Roger, I think we're open, ready to open up that damn chute that hasn't been opened up in a while. Why don't you fire that sucker on up? Sorry. Well, okay, can I just tell us, to all the TV stations in town, do you really need to get the guy that got his taco first? I mean, so the guy gets food at a drive-thru. Are you going to be acting like, yeah, here he is, the first guy that got his food chucked down to him down a Taco Bell chute? Hey, how do you feel right now? I would love it if someone looked at lonely, depressed, for God's sakes, I'm having breakfast at a Taco Bell. What else do you want from me? Is my shame not complete? I'm sorry. Oh, they are not going to advertise with us, are they? Sorry, my bad. My bad on that one. Sorry. I would love that news story. Seriously, though. That'd be all-time great moments in history. If you can get up there, bon appetit. 952-946-6205. We're going to get that, though. We go, here we are. Here's a guy that got food from a fast food restaurant. Tell me, what's your name and how do you feel right now? That's your claim to fame. Well, I think Andy Warhol's spinning in the old grave on that point. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So, I'm about to give you deflection news. Now, what do I mean by deflection news? Thursday, we're starting the January 6th televised hearings from the January 6th committee. A committee that the Republicans were too stupid to realize that just because, you know, they weren't going to take Jim Jordan and Louis Gohmert and the stupidest people in the Republican House, you should have sent someone in there to defend yourself, and you didn't. I'd say, because Liz Cheney and Kitzinger, I can tell you right now, from what they've seen, they are done with you guys. But here you are, you're getting ready for this, and let's not mistake anything. We're about to find out that the president of the United States, for the first time in the history of this country, tried to overthrow the government to maintain his own power, and that he was surrounded by multiple people, not one or two, but a large contingent of the White House who as well were saying it's time to end democracy and install Donald Trump as the uber-allus fascist dictator of this country. We are about to hear it, folks. And the Republicans don't have a counterpoint. So, what are we about to experience? Deflection news! That's right. We'll start with the one that even our own newscast here started with today. Prices at the pump in Minnesota saw the largest hike in nearly a decade this week. Gas prices continue to push above record highs. So let me get this right. Gas prices went up astoundingly at the beginning of the summer driving season. Wow! That's never happened. Wow! Well, what the heck? They always don't ever have a massive rise in gas prices at the beginning of the summer driving season. Who could have ever seen that coming? Oh, my God. Oh, that's right. They do it every year. And they blame that one refinery. Oh, you rapscallion refinery. Oh, it's that. We wanted to keep the prices low, but that refinery over there, shame on you. Folks, as Republicans are going to try to scream about gas prices, and I'm not saying gas prices are good. No, they're not. But there's twofold here I want to make sure I mention. One, the gas and oil industry are the private sector. So are you saying that the federal government should start regulating the prices of the gas and oil industry? Because as you scream about, why isn't Joe Biden doing anything? What are you expecting him to do? Oh, that's right. You need to open up every piece of land in this country for drilling, and then we'll be better. Now, that is an argument that they're trying to push. This is for the first thing is this. They're trying to position themselves to where they can pull up every drop of oil out of the ground they possibly can, regardless of the damage it's doing to our environment, which it is. If you remember the beginning of the show, I was talking about plants seem to be blooming in a weird pattern right now. That's climate change. So the Republicans are going to try to get the drilling rights for every swath of inch of land they can, well, outside of their vacation properties, outside of their neighborhoods. Those are pristine. Those need to be preserved. But everywhere else, the Boundary Waters Canoe Area, Lake Superior, they'll put oil drills everywhere. Because that's what they want to do. And they'll argue, well, we've got all these leases, but they're useless. No, they're just not drilling on them. They're just not drilling on them. If the Democrats had a brain in their noggin on this, I think that their energy committee in the House should start having hearings where they say, okay, bring in your leases and we'll ask you which ones you don't want anymore. Because here's the funny part. If you actually did that, two things would happen immediately. Gas prices would start to drop right away. Because the oil and gas industry and the Republicans that control them do not want people to start asking the question of why aren't you drilling more oil? But secondly, they'd immediately, all the people that bellyache about all these worthless leases would immediately say, no, 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 we don't want to get rid of those leases because those leases aren't worthless. What's worthless is the oil and gas industry that doesn't want to drill on the land that they already have the right to drill on. They're just wanting to make sure they get all the land rights before they start drilling. Because that's who they are. They're greedy. Which brings me to the second point. They're just greedy jackasses. They are shoveling money into their pockets like you wouldn't believe. Millions, billions, billions of dollars worth of profit. Of profit! Not of their operational costs, of profit! They are making more money than God at this point. So when they sit there and say, Joe Biden ain't raising those prices. The executives of the oil industry are raising the prices. And they're laughing all the way to the bank while you're an idiot and you blame Joe Biden for something he has no control over. And on a larger scale, if I can step back and mention this, it is pretty clear at this point the oil and gas industry is playing politics. That the oil and gas industry is seeming to, when a Democrat's in office, raise prices to try to hurt that president. When a Republican is in office, to artificially lower the prices of gas to try to help that president. And I think that if you brought that up and you started having hearings on that, I can tell you another thing. That would be dropping gas prices really fast. Because they don't want to be called out for saying we're playing politics where we're trying to control who you vote for. Because I can tell you right now, especially in Democratic-leaning states, nothing will get them off of oil and gas faster than basically saying, well, if you're working against us like this, fine, we're just going to start making major investments into renewable energies at the and the hell with you guys. And that's more profit losses for them. Granted, they'll still have stupid states where they're basically betrothed to the oil and gas industry, paying outrageously high gas prices for decades to come. But, you know, you can't help stupid. I'm sure they'll find some way to still blame the Democrats for everything the oil and gas industry at the beckoning of the Republicans has done. But that's them. So I think, you know, that's going to be deflection news number one. Oh, watch. Oh, my God. Gas prices. Matt, gas prices. Oh, my God. Now, that being said, we'll take a break. Come on back. More deflection news. Get ready for it, kids, because they're all terrified of what's about to happen on Thursday. They're terrified about what's about to happen on Thursday. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So, deflection news, number one, gas prices. And so the federal government's supposed to take over the gas industry and regulate prices now? Is that what you're asking?
No, he has to give them more leases.
So we're talking about fixing this problem in, what, 8 to 9 years? Because you got to build roads out there. You really don't have a quick solution here. The only solution that makes sense to what your complaint is that the federal government should take over the gas prices. Maybe they should. I got to tell you the truth. I guarantee you nothing will make people start realizing how bad the oil and gas industry is if the federal government took over the oil and gas industry and immediately prices dropped by 2/3. Because all of a sudden you're not having to buy that 19th vacation home for some billionaire executive. 952-946-6205. So what's deflection news topic number two? Oh, it's an oldie but a goodie. Didn't hear anything about this until this morning, and all of a sudden now half the conservatives in this country are screaming about the caravan. Oh, that's right. The caravan is back. Several thousand immigrants, many of them from Venezuela, set off from southern Mexico early Monday, aiming to reach the United States, timing their journey to coincide with the Summit for Americas in Los Angeles this week. Migrant activists said the group could be one of the largest region's largest migrant caravans in years. At least 6,000 people, according to Reuters, left the border city of Tapachula, Mexico's National Institute of Migration, did not provide an estimate of the group's size and provided no additional comment on the caravan. But already all the favorites are there for the conservatives. They're bringing criminals. They're bringing disease. Oh, they're going to come in here and they're going to take your job. Caravan organizer Luis Villagran said the group represented various nationalities of people fleeing hardship for their home countries, including many from Venezuela. It should be noted that as all these Republicans scream about these people, the reality is if those people are fixing their lawn or watching their kid or roofing their house or cleaning their house, they love them. But now it's a political talking point. The caravan's coming. And by all means, I am one of those people that, you know, if you are coming from a dark place where you don't have opportunities, you don't have, a way to even make your life livable, or you're coming from a place where, God forbid, people are trying to kill you, it's America. Come on in. We become better because of the immigrant groups that have come here. Although I guess I could make an argument the Native Americans, it was a lot better for them prior to any of the immigrants getting there. So, you know, touche on that one. But I'm of the mindset that, you know, welcoming strangers from strange lands. And I think that it's definitely something that we could. Now, once again, though, this is not about this issue. They don't want to talk about the hardships that these people are experiencing at home or the fact that we in this country love immigrant labor when it comes to getting stuff done for cheap on your house or cleaning or watching your kids. No, they don't want to talk about that at all. This is just about trying to find a news story to deflect away from the January 6th committee. So it's deflection news. Oh, yes. The last one I want to mention is the, you know, it's kind of the story that we talk about shortages of employment, shortage on the supply chain, stuff like that, just because your life is about to get so much worse. Don't pay attention to the January 6th thing. Follow this deflection news. And here you go. A local and nationwide lifeguard shortage may impact your family's summer plans. What? If more people don't apply and train to become lifeguards, the American Lifeguard Association reports one-third of the country's nearly 300,000 public pools could be affected. Not closed, affected. We're experiencing what we consider a critical lifeguard shortage. Wyatt Wenerth of the American Lifeguard Association said because of the pandemic, people who did find other jobs that would normally come back to lifeguarding stayed with those jobs. Heaven forbid they try to make their lives better. While the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board is hiring on Sunday, there were several lifeguards at Lake Nokomis's beach. So we're now to the story of we create the your family plans might be ruined. Thanks, Joe Biden. Well, they're not ruined at Nokomis. Nokomis, they got plenty of lifeguards. They're fine out there. But it could be. Oh, will they be there tomorrow? You don't know. You should live in fear. Live in fear. That sort of thing. When we walked up and saw the lifeguards on the duty, it made us feel safer, said Minneapolis resident Dan Sterner, who was at Lake Nokomis with his four-year-old twin daughters. So once again, I mean, the story here is you could go to some place and there's not going to be lifeguards. Oh, by the way, the place we went to do the story, oh, there are plenty of lifeguards. So there's no story. Deflection news. Once again, all this is because the Republicans do not have an answer to the reality that we're about to see. And a reality that many Republicans clearly are somewhat to a point guilty of, the attempted overthrow of the federal government. And so this is, they can't, I mean, they in a perfect world for them, Trump would keep his mouth shut. They could ignore this. And as I mentioned on Friday, Democratic outrage lasts about as long as sour cream. It really does. So, you know, if they could let this happen, the hearings happen, and they just keep their quiet, they don't have to defend Trump or anything like that, they can let this go. But they already know Trump is not going to be quiet. Trump is going to demand that they defend him. And so here they are going to have to be put in this god-awful situation. So what do? They create these news stories, which might have some news capability, but are not really news stories. They're only there to basically, we can't cover the January 6th thing. We've got a caravan that's 500 miles away from the U.S. border and walking at a fairly slow pace. You know, that's what it is. And the ugliness of this all is that we had an attempted overthrow of the federal government by the president himself and his aides, who were so incensed that they lost an election, tried to pull law, legal review, anything out of their cabooses for 2 months. And when they finally realized they weren't going to be able to do this through some sort of quirk in the legal system, decided to send a mob to attack the U.S. Capitol. The worst attack on the U.S. Congress since the War of 1812. They weren't there to give them a list of grievances. They brought guns. They brought weapons. They brought zip ties. They were looking for hostages. They were looking for the ballots. They were going to try to burn the damn place down. They're all traitors. They were traitors to America. And my personal thing is they should be locked away for the rest of their damn lives. You cannot love this country while at the same time try to burn it to the ground. You can't. You can't be both of those things. You're anti-American traitors. You are no better than any enemy this country has ever faced, whether that was the Nazis or Al-Qaeda. You were trying to overthrow this government. And my God, Al-Qaeda only wishes they got as far as you knuckleheads on January 6th. And God forbid anyone with a half a damn brain cell in your mind was there, you might have actually been able to pull it off. Instead, you sent the stupidest human beings to the planet to go and defecate all over the U.S. Capitol. No, we're about to pull back the curtain and see the wizard for what he really is. A petulant man-child who was so bitter and angry that he got his ass handed to him in 2020, tried to overthrow the government. And it was. It was an attempted overthrow. The story today from the New York Times. Enrique Tarrio, the former chairman of the Proud Boys, and four other members of the far-right group were indicted today for seditious conspiracy in connection to the storming of the Capitol in January, the most serious crime to be charged in the Justice Department's sprawling investigation into the assault. The sedition charges against Tarrio and his co-defendants, Joseph Biggs, Ethan Nordine, Zachary Real, and Dominic Pozzola, all traitors to America, came in an amended indictment that was unsealed in the federal district court in Washington. The men had already been charged in an earlier indictment filed in March with conspiracy to obstruct the certification of the 2020 presidential election, which took place during the joint session of Congress on January 6th. It was not immediately clear what evidence led to the new charges against the members of the Proud Boys, who were central in the effort to storm the Capitol and help forestall President Donald Trump's defeat. Another Proud Boy lieutenant originally charged with the men, Charles Donahoe, pleaded guilty in April, is cooperating with the government's inquiry into the group. I think I know where they got the information. Around the time of Mr. Tarrio's arrest this spring, federal investigators searched the homes and seized the phones and three other high-ranking Proud Boys identified as unindicted conspirators in the case, but none of them have been publicly charged. A charge of seditious conspiracy requires prosecution to prove that force was used either to overthrow the government or to interfere with the execution of federal law. The only other defendants in the Capitol riot investigation who have faced a sedition conspiracy charges so far are Stuart Rhodes, the leader of the Oath Keepers militia, and 10 of his subordinates. Prosecutors say that Mr. Rhodes led a conspiracy to forcibly stop a lawful transition of presidential power by sending men into the Capitol on January 6th and by staging a heavily armed quick reaction force outside of Washington that was prepared to rush into the aid of the compatriots at the building. Unlike Rhodes, Tarrio is not in Washington on January 6th. He had been ordered to leave the city by a local judge 2 days earlier after being charged with burning a Black Lives Matter banner at a church during a spree of violence that followed a different pro-Trump rally in December. Federal prosecutors have said that even though Tarrio was not accused of physically taking part in the breach of the Capitol, he nonetheless led the advance planning and remained in contact with other members of the Proud Boys during the storming of the building. Prosecutors have claimed, for instance, that Tarrio issued orders before the attack for members of the group to leave behind their traditional black and yellow polo shirts and remain incognito when they arrived in Washington on January 6th. Mr. Tarrio also helped create a command and control structure for the group on a private Telegram group that called for the ministry, that chat called Ministry of Self-Defense, prosecutors say. As the riot of the Capitol unfolded, Tarrio appeared to take credit for the Proud Boys' role in what was happening. "We did this," he wrote at one point of the Telegram group chat. Lawyers for Tarrio and the other men have repeatedly claimed there is no evidence that they conspired in advance to storm the Capitol by setting up a Ministry of Defense group chat and by taking other measures like acquiring protective gear. The Proud Boys were simply trying to guard themselves against the leftist actors, blah, 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 blah. The Proud Boys will also be featured when the House Committee investigating January 6th holds its initial public hearings on Thursday night. So let's make sure we understand this. You have, was it Ginny Thomas, Clarence Thomas's wife, involved with the organization of this rally? You have Roger Stone and is clearly involved with the corralling, I guess you could say, or at least he was around. I should be careful how I say this. He was around the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers quite a bit in leading up to the attack. So there you have a connection to Trump there. This was by design. This was by design. And they tried to overthrow the government of the United States of America. End of story. You cannot negate a legitimate election, install a man as president, and then act like you can ever walk that back to, well, we'll have a fair election this time, it is over. Donald Trump is scum of the earth. He is an absolute horrible individual, and history will remember him as the traitor to this country that actually served as its president. And you all out there kind of created this new reality for yourselves that, oh, he was really great. No, you know he was horrible. It's just that you cannot look at him and call him out for what he really is, because you've convinced yourself that if you do that, the libs win. Because you're pathetic, small, weak people that have nothing else in your life. Someone has to tell you. This is called honesty. It's brutal. But you know what? Someone's got to tell it to you. January 6th was an attack on this country. Plain and simple. Enemies, foreign and domestic. They stopped the military from responding. Finally, and finally, one of the more interesting elements, you had the Democratic governor of Virginia and the Republican governor of Maryland order their National Guard troops in to go defend the Capitol because no one else was doing it. And then Trump comes on out. It's over. I love you. You gotta go home. You know what I think of when I think of Donald Trump? I got a video of a dam that you need to see. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Minnesota coronavirus update. We'll do that before we get done here. It's the Native Roots Radio coming up here in the 6 o'clock hour. The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Oh, no, we're about to get a front row seat to realize how close we actually came to having this country as government overthrown. And it's there's not really much that the Republicans can say. That's why it's all deflection news. Deflection news. The coronavirus update for today. By the way, I've actually, you know, it seems like things are getting to a point of fairly under control. I'm starting to carefully pick and choose sometimes where I'm wearing my mask and I'm not wearing my mask. Definitely anytime I'm kind of going inside still, I'm wearing a mask. But I mean, even around crowds, if I'm outside or if I'm inside and it's not really packed, I'm taking my mask off. If I get near someone, I put it back on. But it's a sign that I think we're starting to see some level of normalcy, at least enough of a level of normalcy to come back. To where I feel as if it's getting safe, but I'm keeping very close eye on the numbers. That's for sure. The COVID-19 update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 2,155 newly reported cases, 10 reported deaths. The state's COVID-19 death toll now is 12,674. It seems like the death numbers have gone up. We're still consistently like at 2 or 3 deaths. In the last few days, it's been double digits almost every day, and that's a little concern. And that generally is, we talked to Dr. Joe about this, our COVID modeling expert. There is a trailing period from when the illness hits where you see the most cases, and then you see the deaths come in a little bit later. And I'm wondering if that's what we're seeing now is these variants of Omicron. This is the death count we're seeing with them. Not as high as it was during the worst of the Omicron phase or the Delta phase for sure, but still pretty bleak for sure. According to the latest wastewater data from the Metropolitan Council, which covers 2/3 of the Twin Cities metro, it serves about 2 million people. The most prevalent strain of COVID from samples is the subvariant BA.2.1.2.1, 64%, which is up from 57% from the previous week. While Omicron subvariants BA.4 and 5 more than doubled from 11% of samples to 23% in the latest reporting, is expected to continue to climb in the weeks ahead. Through June 3rd, the number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 427, down from 446 on June 2nd. Of those hospitalized, 46 people are in intensive care, up from 42. 381 are in non-ICU care. That's down from 404. As of June 1st, the state reported that 3,917,940 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. 3,713,521 people have completed the vaccine series, and there are 2,444,000 598 Minnesotans up to date with their COVID vaccine shots, which includes boosters. Total number of people infected with COVID, 1,517,678. And once again, that is a gross undercounting of the real number there. It is not over yet. But I should mention, and thanks to Dr. Joe, he sent me some headlines that have been coming up here. And it is disturbing the way that some of this stuff is still going. Because I'll first start off with, meanwhile, in California, they're considering reinstating the indoor mask requirements as COVID starts to rise in parts of the state. Now, I'm hoping it's somewhat similar to what we've had here in Minnesota and California, where it's been definitely a rise, not as bad as Omicron, not as bad as Delta, but definitely a rise in the amount of cases. But it seems that at least in Minnesota, it's been somewhat manageable. And I want to be very careful here because God bless you, doctors, nurses, anyone in the healthcare profession, bless you. You're angels. You're absolute freaking angels. This has been a long haul. You guys have done a wonderful job and you're still taking care of a lot of people. So I don't want to discount where we're at, nor do I want to look at people. I never want to be that person where 10 people die in one day and I just sort of shrug my shoulders saying, hey, that's no big deal. Nope, that's a big deal. We've had too much loss. We've had too much, you know, suffering. I want this to be over. But at the same time, I can look at this whole thing and say, this wasn't as bad as the last ones. Doesn't mean it's not still dangerous. It's just perspective. California, I hope that that's the case there. It's not going to be too bad there. Then you have absolute jackasses like Ron DeSantis. He's basically ordered the Special Olympics to scrap their COVID-19 vaccine requirements. He warned he would pose a $27 million in fines on the Special Olympics. A group of athletes who have athletes with compromised immune systems. And Ron DeSantis says, I don't care. I'm going to fine you because God forbid you don't believe the narrative I want to say. Dude, that guy, this country, you thought Trump was bad? DeSantis? God, he just, oh my God, horrible human being. But yeah, threatens the Special Olympics with $27 million worth of fines. So that they basically, you know, and they're supposed to hold the Special Olympics in Orlando. I mean, if anyone in Minneapolis could get that up here, I don't know how quickly they could change venues, but we'll let them make their own decisions because it's their own organization. The U.S. COVID total, thanks to that news headline here brought to you by, given to me by Dr. Joe, 84,735,800 people have gotten sick in the United States of COVID. 1,007,815 deaths. Oy. And it should be mentioned that the U.S. had discarded 82 million COVID vaccine doses because people are just not getting vaccinated anymore. That people don't feel as if it's the need. And if you do any of the reading on there, this is something you're probably going to have to get vaccinated for at least twice a year, if not more, but at least like a flu shot. You're going to have to get a fall one and a spring one. I don't have any problem with it because I'm tired of death and I'm tired of suffering and I'm tired of trying to break the medical industry over our knee because of something we could do to at least keep the numbers down like we've seen in other countries. Thanks, Dr. Joe. I appreciate that information. Native Roots Radio is up next. Have a good one. We are back on a Tuesday. Until then, see ya.